Could I ask you to turn in God's Word tonight to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and this will be an introduction to our message tonight in this verse. And we want to read from verse number 1. First John and chapter 3 and verse number 1. Let's hear the word of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Of course, that's speaking there about sinning habitually, sinning willfully, and delighting in it. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin willfully and habitually and gladly, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin in that way because he is born of God. And that's one of the marks of a believer. Therefore, let us come together, let us pray, let us seek the face of God, ask him for his blessing tonight, to open our hearts, to give us truth from heaven that will thrill our souls, that will warn the sinner and encourage the saint. Let's come before God tonight and ask him to meet our need. Our gracious Lord, our eternal heavenly Father, we bow before thee afresh this day, and we thank thee in the Saviour's name for the privilege of being found in the house of God on this thy day. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of God we have open before us. O God, this is the living word of God. O Lord, this is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Lord, this is more important, Lord, than any other book that has ever been written, because this is the book of God, our Creator. It tells us how we ought to live, how we ought to serve him, how we can please him through coming to faith in his Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, for giving us this revelation of truth. Thank thee, Lord, thou hast not left us to our own devices, to our own desires, but, O God, thou hast given us thy truth and thy word. We thank thee that there is a way that leads to God, and this book shows us that way. We pray tonight that through this word thou wilt point man and woman to thy dear Son. O Lord, I pray tonight you will work in their hearts by thy Spirit in this meeting. Stir hearts, we pray. Pray for those especially who are sitting in their sin tonight, and those who have never been saved, and those who have no concern about the consequences of their sin or where their soul will be in eternity. For those, Lord, who are so taken up with time and the things of the world and the things of sin and self, Lord, and they've neglected anything to do with the things of God, we pray, Lord, tonight you will awake them out of their death sleep and cause them tonight to realize that they're on this earth for a very short period of time. And, O Lord, then to meet God. And I pray, O Lord, tonight that thou wilt cause them to know the truth. Let not the devil deceive any longer, but, O Lord, they shall know the truth tonight, and the truth shall set them free. Lord, help me tonight, I pray. Empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name, believing that I'll be able to deliver this word to the glory of thy name, to the extension of thy kingdom. And we pray, O Lord, that you'll open the hearts of men and women, boys and girls in this meeting to receive the truth. May tonight be the night of salvation for precious souls in this meeting tonight, perhaps for those watching on the internet. O Lord, minister, we pray, with a voice that wakes the dead, and make the people hear. Lord, we need to be careful around thy word because it's thy truth. And help us not to put our opinion on it, but simply to declare the truth of it. We ask in our Saviour's precious and holy name. Amen. It says there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 7, little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever been deceived by another? Has your trust been betrayed? Maybe people making promises that they didn't keep, or maybe didn't even want to keep, or maybe people pretending to be something that they are not. Now, it's not a nice thing to be deceived in life. It's not a nice thing to be deceived by a person. But someone deceiving you, humanly speaking, that can be dealt with, and the consequences only last for time, for the most part. But you know, there is a great deceiver, one who is called the devil, Satan, the great dragon, the old serpent, which deceiveth the whole world. And that is the business of the devil. The business of the devil is to deceive you tonight. To deceive what you think about Christ, to deceive what you think about yourself, to deceive you into believing that what is not true is true, to deceive you into believing that what is true is not important. And I want to show you tonight, through the Word of God, some of the things that the Scripture tells us and warns us about that we ought not to be deceived by. You see, the devil here tonight wants you to think that man's ideas are better than God's. That society's ways are better than God's. That his ways are better than God's. That's the very fact and the very reason for the fact that we are sitting tonight as sinners in this world. Because the devil came and he deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He caused them to think that God's way was not good, that God's way was imperfect, and to have fullness of life, they needed to follow his way. And that's what the devil is still doing tonight. Five times in Scripture we read the words, be not deceived. Be not deceived. And I want us to look at them very briefly tonight. Child of God, I want you to look at them, because the devil can deceive the child of God. The devil can cause us to think less of God. He can cause us to think that we don't need to be faithful to the Word of God. I want you to listen tonight and see what the Lord would say to you. But especially if you're not saved tonight, I want you to listen. Because if you're not a Christian in this meeting tonight, then the reality is you have been deceived your entire life. And you're still sitting tonight in the deceit of Satan. And I want you to listen tonight what Scripture would say to you. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And this is the first time this little phrase, be not deceived, is brought in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 16. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 16. It's interesting to note, just at the very start of this chapter, it says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And that really is the overwhelming message of the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. But here it says in chapter 11 and verse number 16, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And the first thing I want to share with you tonight from God's word is this: your heart can be deceived, and your heart can deceive you. Your heart can be deceived, and your heart can deceive you. I've already mentioned about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and how God had given them everything that any man or woman needs to be happy and content and fulfilled and to be joyous in this world. And yet the devil came, and the devil whispered doubt into the mind. And as they pondered the doubt, then they were deceived by their own heart. Their human reasoning caused them to sin against God. And that's why everybody born into this world is born as a sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. As you look into the face of a little baby, yes, there's an innocence there, as it were, in that it doesn't know very much about the world. It's just born into the world. But in the heart, there's no innocence. It's a guilty sinner before God, and it's not very long before that's manifest in its life. A friend, you entered into this world as a sinner, and so did I. And if you're ever going to leave this world the right way, then you need to acknowledge the way that you were born into this world and do something about it. The Word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The word deceitful means crooked or polluted. And it's from a word which means to be restrained by holding the heel. And that's a very interesting description of what a sinner is. It's someone who is walking in a crooked way, in a polluted way, and they're restrained by Satan himself, by the very wickedness of sin, by hell itself. That is the condition of the sinner. Now, you measure your life against the law of God tonight, and you'll find you're crooked. You compare yourself to the holiness of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you'll find you are polluted. You try and make your life better and reform your life. And you try and stop swearing and stop saying horrible things to people and stop being bitter within your heart and stop doing all those things that you know are wrong and sinful. You try and fix those things and you'll find that you are restrained by sin. You cannot break free from it. You cannot break away from the power of that sin. And that sin in your life makes you have a deceitful heart. So what lesson can we take tonight from the fact that the Word of God tells us the heart of man is deceitful? This is what the Scripture says. The heart of man is deceitful. What lesson can we take from this tonight? Well, it's this lesson. We cannot trust ourselves. We cannot trust ourselves. We cannot rely upon ourselves for truth. We cannot rely upon ourselves for salvation. You see, the heart is so deceitful that there are millions of people in this world living in sin, thinking they're okay with God. Thinking that God smiles upon them as they live their life and try their best. But the Word of God says, God is angry with the wicked every day. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Here's how deceitful the heart of man is. He believes that by attending church, he pleases God and somehow earns favor with God and will be allowed into heaven. In other words, he's trying to work out a way to please God himself. You know what the Word of God says? It says, we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, there's a way that seems right, and that's how deceitful our heart can be. We can look at our lives with all its sin, with its wickedness, with everything we do that is against God, and we can say to ourselves, you know what, everything's good in my life. I have a healthy family. I have money in the bank. I drive a lovely car. I have a lovely house. I have a good job. I enjoy the pleasures of life. I enjoy what this life has to offer and what this world has to offer. And you know what, everything's right with me. Everything's okay with me. Couldn't get better than this. And there's even those who are living without God and living against God, and if you're not saved, that's exactly how you're living. You're living against God and going through life believing that everything is okay. I'll get the best out of life. I'll do what I want to do, and then when I die, I will be at peace. And you know all man's doing with statements like that? He is sinfully deceiving himself, convincing himself that he doesn't need God. Is that you in this meeting tonight? If you're sitting in this meeting and that's your heart, I don't need God, then you're the very person this meeting with the greatest need of God. You need God to open your eyes to show you that you need God to save you. You need God to awaken you. You need God to give you concern about your soul. You're the very person this meeting that needs God to come and shake you in that seat, that you tremble with fear until you would call on him for salvation. And that verse says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the words desperately wicked in the Hebrew can mean incurably sick. Therefore, we could read this verse, the heart is deceitful and dangerously sick. You're in danger tonight, sinner. You're in danger of falling into hell. You're in danger of dying with the sickness of sin, never having had the remedy of the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and to save you and to heal you. And if all you can tell me tonight about your soul being ready to die and stand before God is you think you're okay, or that you hope you're okay, friend, then you're deceived tonight. If all you can tell me tonight is that you're as good as anybody else, then you're being deceived tonight. If you're depending upon something for heaven, something you're doing, something that you've done, how you live, how you act, well, then you're being deceived tonight, because the heart of man needs to be transformed, born again of the Spirit of God, washed whiter than the snow. Your heart needs to be saved. And I urge you tonight, don't you leave this church thinking to yourself, well, I think I'm okay, and as far as I can see, everything's right with me. Come you to God's word and you see exactly what God says about your soul. You come to God's word tonight and you leave knowing what God says. And friend, if you're not saved and you leave without Christ, then you know this, that God's word says you're under his condemnation and on your way to a lost eternity. You see, that's the very first thing. Your heart can deceive you. But then turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and we'll find something else that can deceive us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Let's read from verse number 7. And they asked him, Luke 21, verse 7. They asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what signs will there be when these things shall come to pass? And Jesus said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. And here the Lord is speaking about false teachers. And while, first of all, your heart can deceive you, secondly tonight, false teachers can deceive you. False teachers or false preachers can deceive you. You see, a faithful preacher and a faithful teacher of the Word of God will never point you to a church, and they'll never point you to a religion, and they will never point you to themselves. They will always point you to Christ. True teachers of the Word of God always point you to Christ. And folks, there are those tonight, and they preach, you can be saved at one point in your life and then lose that salvation. And that takes the focus off Christ and his saving power, and it puts it onto you, and what can you do to keep your salvation? That's false teaching. True teaching always presents Christ, always promotes Christ. The only reason I'm saved is Christ. The only reason I'm kept is Christ. The only reason I'll be in heaven is Christ. The only reason I can stand here tonight and say I am eternally saved is because an eternal Savior has purchased an eternal salvation for me. That's true, faithful teaching. But notice the dangers and subtlety of false teachers. Because it says here in verse 8, the Lord says, many shall come in my name. In my name. Oh, I'm a Christian. I belong to Christ. I preach the old gospel. Friend, that's not enough for you to know that they are true teachers. You open the Word of God and you measure what they say by the Word of God. And notice not only that, they come in his name saying, I am. I am. The word Christ there is in italics. But they're basically coming and saying, look, I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the one that's going to turn the world upside down. I'm the one that's going to preach like you've never heard before and tell you things that you've never heard before. Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord says, let not your prophets or your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And if someone is preaching something that is not in the Word of God, then that message isn't from God and that person isn't from God. They're seeking to deceive. You see, the Word of God makes it very clear that there are those in Scripture who were sent from God. It says in the Word of God in Luke's Gospel, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. What was remarkable about that angel had a message from God. A message that fulfilled the Word of God, a message that presented Christ. John the Baptist says in John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Gabriel, sent from God. John, sent from God. The Old Testament prophets, time and time and time again, when they preached, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And this is the truth and revelation of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see this book you hold in your hand tonight? This is a measure of a preacher. And this is a measure of truth. And if anyone diminishes the book or discredits the book or says that the Word of God is not all true or not 100% the Word of God, then they do not know the truth of the Word of God. They're not from God. Doesn't matter what title they hold, what clothes they wear, what they claim themselves to be. Anyone who disagrees with the Word of God is not sent from God and does not know God. Because the Spirit of God writes upon our heart the truths about Jesus Christ. He will bring to our remembrance that which Christ has taught. And how has Christ taught these things? Through the Word of God. And you'll get people, and I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm just thinking there, and as far as I can see, this is the way I ought to go. And this is what I ought to do. And this is the way I ought to act, or this is the way I ought to conduct my ministry. And you just think about what they're saying, and you think to yourself, well, that's contrary to what Jesus said. That's contrary to what the Spirit of God has revealed in the Word of God. And it sounds very spiritual. Friend, if it's not according to the truth of God's Word, it's nonsense. And you be careful, because you can be deceived. Not everybody runs about saying, I have a message from God, has a message from God. You open the book and you measure it. The Word of God says, Ephesians 5, 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Empty words. Oh, they sound maybe good, but there's nothing to back them up. And here's the bottom line. Proverbs 14, 25, a true witness delivereth souls. Someone who preaches faithfully will deliver those in danger, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Friend, it's not just that they're off a little bit. It's not that they've just got a wee bit of doctrine mixed up. They're telling lies if it's contrary to God's word. And how sad and solemn for someone to take a place in front of a congregation to speak about something he doesn't personally know and to lead people in deceit away with false teaching. And you know what? That person will have to stand not before a congregation someday, but before God and give an account of all that they've said, all their empty words, all their falsehood, all their vain things. And they'll be punished for the blasphemous manner in which they conducted themselves according to the Word of God. Ministers have no right to stand in the pulpit and say, I think this. He is only the authority of heaven to say, God says this. We need God's declaration and God's revelation. Then thirdly, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15:33. And as we're thinking about there, false teachers can deceive you. Maybe you've been speaking to someone and they've told you. As long as you go to church, as long as you love God, as long as you try your best to be religious, you're okay. Friend, if that's all you're relying on tonight, I beg you in God's name, get to the Word and see what the Lord says. And here's the third thing. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 And verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The word sounds strange to us, I suppose, in our modern day tongue, but what it's being said here is this. You become like those with whom you spend time. And it's saying here, evil lifestyles can corrupt good lifestyles. In other words, there's nothing more lovely than a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who's saved and spends time with the Lord. They become like their Lord. And this verse is speaking about those with whom you spend time with. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. And you have to be honest and say that the close friends that you have and the companions that you have are unsaved people. And they're your friends and your colleagues and your family. But what is being said here is this: sinful friends can deceive you. They can lead you in the wrong way. Now, it's not saying that you should have not have unsafe friends, not at all. But it's teaching here that those with whom you must and ought to spend most time ought to be saved, that they may encourage you and build you up. And for the unsaved, there's a great truth here as well. Because perhaps there are those sitting in this meeting, and you once attended a Sunday school, or a Bible club, or youth fellowship, or church. You once went to gospel meetings, and you once used to follow the things of God, and you just once even to love the things of God. And perhaps there was an interest in your soul, but getting saved, but hearing someone preach, you wanted to know more, and then you get into bad company. Or the company that you were hanging about with didn't want to go to church, and they didn't want to talk about the things of God. And that interest that you had very quickly was dampened because maybe people mocked you when you talked about the things of God, or they joked about it or made fun of you and you wanted to fit in. So you just went along with the crowd. And now, weeks, months, maybe even years later, you look back and you find it's been a long time since you've been at church, a long time since you thought about your soul. Long time since you sat down to hear gospel preaching, and yet by the mercy of God, you're in the house of God tonight to hear the gospel. But you can look back and you can see where you went astray, certainly in terms of hearing the word of God. It's because that was a company that you were keeping. And perhaps even in this meeting tonight, there are those, and it's their friends that are holding them back tonight from becoming a Christian. Friends are important. And we need people to talk to along the way of life, but there's no one so important that they're worth losing your soul over. Maybe that's your fear tonight. What would my friends say to me? How could I look them in the face tomorrow and tell them I got saved at a church? How could I tell them I'd become a Christian? I laughed at their dirty jokes. I mocked whenever they ridiculed the Christians in our workplace. How could I ever go in? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And friends, you continue with that friendship, and give your friendships with the ungodly a greater place than the things of God, will then just be led further and further into sin. Maybe a comforting thought, I plenty of friends around me in my sin. Whenever things go wrong, those unsaved friends are there for me. They look out for me and they care for me. A friend, they can't save your soul. They're here for a little time, and then death comes and you part one from the other. And the unsaved go to hell. And why there was a little laughter on earth, and why there was a little pleasure for a short time. Those friendships that you treasured so much are all you have to hold in your memory in hell. For all eternity you'll suffer. Friend, be careful. Be careful that you don't hold back, and that unsaved friends deceive you into thinking everything's okay with your soul, and everything will work out okay. Then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Sorry, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." What? "Be not deceived, because neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And here's my fourth thought tonight about deception. Popular opinion can deceive you. Popular opinion can deceive you. Just because many people think about something or agree on something does not mean that it's right. It's believed in years gone by and centuries gone by that whenever there was a disease came within the body, the best thing to do was to bleed the body, to let the disease leak out of the body. In fact, one of the presidents of the United States of America died that way because one of the doctors kept drawing the blood out of the body until he was so weak to fight the disease. Of course, modern science and medicine has come to realize that you put blood into the body to support the body and to give it the fight against disease. So popular opinion isn't always right. Certainly when it comes to the things of God. I trust there's no one tonight in this meeting, and yet I fear there are many in this country who base what they think about God upon the popular opinion of the day. The popular opinion of our country today is that the Bible has no relevance. The Bible's not important. Something that can be read, but it's not up to date and it's not for today. It's not important. It's not part of our life right here, right now. My friend, did you notice the verses we read tonight? Especially verse 9 and verse number 10. The Holy Ghost lists some sins. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but it is a list given by God. And there are several reasons for this. First of all, it teaches what God considers to be sin. Notice what I said, God considers. It clearly teaches that those who are not saved are living for self and for sinful pleasure. And as you look down that list today, you're just looking at a photograph of the world. A photograph of our society. But I do want you to notice something. It does teach in verse number 11 that the people caught up in sins such as these and others can be delivered from them. I think that's a wonderful encouragement. We are living in a very wicked day. And I believe it's wicked not because man has got worse, because man has always been inherently sinful. But I suppose that man has now started to parade his sin in public without any shame. And that's why it seems worse today. It's always happened. But it seems worse today because it's so out there. And not only is it so out there, but it's now forbidden to speak against anything that we consider to be sinful. Because that offends. And that's intolerant. And that's bigoted. But thank the Lord, the Bible says here, "Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Child of God, don't you give up hope. God can move through our land in a moment and save the vilest of sinners in this land. And those who are the most abhorrent, and those who are the most vocal, and those who stand and shake their fist at God, oh, the mercy of God. Because God can turn their heart and he can save them, sanctify them, wash them in the blood, cause them to be justified and become some of the greatest lights that the church has ever known. And we need to start praying like that. Unfortunately, there are many people and they're living this defeatist attitude oh, it's just getting worse. And it will get worse. And it'll be no better. Read the Word of God. The Lord often steps in at the very darkest of moments. When did the Lord step into Saul of Tarsus' life? Hours before he gave the word for the church in that place to be murdered. Just hours before. But he stepped in and not only saved the church there, but he saved the life of a man and transformed him into one of the greatest preachers this world has ever known. In fact, we're reading one of the verses that he wrote tonight. The Lord can and the Lord will do it. Let us not think less of God. Let us not think that the world's getting away from us. God doesn't understand what's happening. God is coming, I believe, in victory. God is coming in glory. And I believe many of those who stand in heaven will be people who've been saved from the vilest of sins. And therefore, what do we need to do today? Instead of complaining and moaning and grumbling about the problem, keep preaching the Word of God. It's through the Word of God these people will be saved. It's through the Word of God we were saved. Let's not forget, we're all sinners. We're all on the way to the same hell. And these sins that are listed today by the Spirit of God are promoted, applauded, laughed at, watched, engaged in, enjoyed without a second thought by the vast majority of our population today. And living in a world such as this, it can be very easily become the norm that these things are normal to us. These things don't bother us. Christians can be desensitized to sin. And let's be honest, there are many things that don't shock us today that once did. And many things even that we hear or we see, they don't shock us today as they once did, because the world on the whole encourages sin. It doesn't call it what the Bible calls it. It doesn't judge it as the Bible judges it. But it tolerates it in many instances. And the popular opinion of the world today is this: live whatever way you want, as long as you don't offend anybody. Or as long as you don't hurt anybody. Or as long as it feels right, just do it. And that's the popular opinion of the world today. And you know how far that goes? Then when someone dies, the people stand around and they speak about their good points, their kindness, their charity work, the money that they gave to the poor, how they loved their family, how they were a good person in their society. And friend, they just take the good bits of their life and they promote them, thinking, and this is popular opinion, those good things tell us how good that person is. And now sure, they're away to their rest, they're away to their peace, they're away to their heaven. And I say their heaven because the heaven that God has made is made for a prepared people. And as the world sees famous people dying, you get people saying their suffering is over, their pain is gone, the hard life's behind them. Yes, they're at rest. Yes, they are if they're saved. But the popular view of the world is this: you can live however you want to and come to death expecting rest and peace. You can live however you want to and come to death expecting rest and peace. What does God's word say? Be not deceived, because as you live, you shall die. And if you die in your sin, then the destiny of your soul is hell. But if you die in Christ, there's nothing to fear in death, because it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. And you see, what I'm saying to you today is why popular opinion says to live is to do whatever you want that makes you happy. God's word says, be not deceived. There's a choice to be made. There is a way that leads to heaven. There is a way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, you're either following Christ, or you are rejecting Christ. You're either in Christ in salvation, or you're in sin. And tonight in this meeting, what I'm saying to you is, don't listen to the lies of the world that say, live however you want and die well. Listen to the word of God. It says, live in sin, die in sin, go to hell. But come to Christ and live in his power. Be washed in his blood. Be saved by his grace, and then you will be in heaven. Now, can I ask you a question? Where will you be tonight? If tonight should be the night you're called from this scene of time. Maybe when you think about your death, you think, well, I wonder what my family will say. How will my mother or father respond? How would my husband or wife respond? My child respond? Wonder what my neighbors would say whenever I die. Wonder what the people will write about me in the paper when I die. What will they say at my funeral? Have you ever thought like that? And yet the whole question is this, what will the Lord say? That's all that matters. The best obituary doesn't get you into heaven. The biggest funeral doesn't guarantee an eternal rest. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save your soul. My final thought tonight is found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. This is a very familiar verse in the Word of God. It speaks about the law of the harvest. And it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, be not deceived. And here's the fifth and final time in Scripture we read these words, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. You see, there are those who live with a view of God that is unbiblical. And this is the final thing that can deceive you, an unbiblical view of God. A false view of God can deceive your soul. There are those who believe that God is simply a God of love and nothing more. And they'll say, a God of love wouldn't send anyone to hell. He wouldn't allow anyone to suffer. He wouldn't allow anyone to be punished. Thank the Lord, we have a God who's love. Every action of our God is infused with love. Love so great that he would come into this world and die upon a cross for sinners. But in that love, there's justice. And in that love, there is holiness. And in that love, there is righteousness. And friend, for God not to judge sin and for God not to punish sin, he would cease to be God. Do you know what Jeremiah said to the people of that day? The people who didn't believe God would punish them. The people who believed they could live whatever way they wanted and it didn't really matter because of an unbiblical view of God. He said in Jeremiah 49:16, thy terribleness hath deceived thee. And the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rocks and holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as eagles, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. I will bring thee down. And friend, for a man or a woman to say God is like this or God is like that, without consulting the book and without consulting the word, is to raise himself up in pride against God, and the Lord says he'll bring you down. Then there's people who go the other way and they say that God is a God of anger. And they preach so much about the anger of God and the wrath of God, they forget about the love of God. We need a balanced, biblical view of God. As we close tonight, I want you to listen to what the Bible says about God. God does not and God will not tolerate sin. That's why he has dealt with the sins of sinners upon the cross of Calvary. As the Lord Jesus Christ hung as our substitute, God the Father placed the punishment of the sinner upon the shoulders of the Savior. He poured out his anger for sin upon the Lamb of God. He allowed the Son of God to suffer hell for me, and his precious blood was shed upon that cross, fulfilling every sacrifice that had ever been made in the Old Testament. So this was the Lamb of God. And that the blood that was shed from this Lamb, the blood that was shed from the Savior, could do more than any other blood ever could. This blood could cleanse from sin. This blood could deliver from sin. This could cover sin and satisfy God. Why did he do it? Why did Christ die upon the cross? Why did he feel the roughness of the wood upon his back? Why did he feel the whip upon his back? Why did he feel the nails upon his hands? Why did he do it? Why did he stay there? What was it that was happening as God hung upon the tree? Well, the Bible says it's for this reason, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was love. And you know what we've had people this past week? Whenever terrorist atrocities happen, whenever things happen in the world, natural disaster, except where's God? Where's the God of love? Where's this God that you speak of? I read a very interesting article online this week. Someone was asked that in the United States, where is the Lord in the midst of all these things? The person turned around to the presenter and said, but this government has taken God out of schools. Not allowed to pray in schools anymore. Not allowed any religious education in schools anymore. Taking God out of society. It's an offense now really to mention God in society. You've caused a generation to grow up who haven't heard about God and don't know God and don't know anything about God. And now we're reaping the benefits of a society and a generation that doesn't know God. And you stand there and ask, where is God? You put him out. They say, there's no love in this God. Look to Calvary. This is the greatest love that you will ever see. The word love has been taken and abused today. But true love is the Son of God dying willingly for you and for me. That's why the hymn writer said, love found a way to redeem my soul. Love found a way that would make me whole. Love sent my Lord to the cross of shame. Love found a way, we'll praise his holy name. And friend, the question is not where is God or where is the love of God? God is everywhere. God is sovereign. God's working out his purposes. God is in his word. And God's love is demonstrated. God's love is manifested. Here's the question. Here's the question we need to ask tonight. Here's the question you need to answer. How could a man or a woman, one heartbeat from hell, walk by the cross and walk by the Savior and walk by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? How could they do that? How can you have walked for years in your life past the cross, past the invitation of salvation, past the blood? I'll tell you how. Because you don't believe this book is true. You don't believe God is who he claims to be. Why? Because you've been deceived. Whether it's been by Satan, false teachers, friends, society, on a biblical view of God, or that heart that's beating within your chest. Friend, you've been deceived. And hell is waiting for you. What does the word deceived mean? It means wandering, going astray, erring, being seduced. And I beg you in God's name tonight, don't let the devil deceive you any longer. Waken up to the truth of God's word. Here's what the Spirit of God says. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So what do you need to do tonight? You need to do what Hosea says in that prophecy in the Old Testament. He says there in Hosea 14:2, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. You need to come to God tonight and say, Lord, take away my sin. Receive me tonight. Forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood that you might be saved and sure that it's right between you and God. How sad to think there are people sitting in this church tonight and they've heard the truth, but they prefer to listen to the lies of hell and walk out closer to damnation than ever before. Don't be deceived. Let's pray tonight. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Perhaps tonight your heart has been touched. The Lord's spoken to you, put his finger upon your life. Perhaps tonight in the stillness of this meeting, you've realized for the first time that you have been deceived. And the only result of that deception is hell. Friend, there's no other outcome for the soul that's deceived. And I beg you tonight, if you are not saved, you come to the Savior tonight. The writer says, come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today. And he's tenderly saying, come. Older person tonight, the Lord's saying to you, come. Younger person tonight, the Lord's saying to you, come. Wicked, guilty sinner tonight, the Lord's saying to you, come. Religious, church-going sinner tonight, the Lord is saying to you, come. All need to be saved. And all need the blood, and therefore I urge you tonight, where you sit, within your heart, cry unto the Lord, save me tonight, Lord. Deliver me from this deceit and from this sin. Make me your child, and you know what will happen tonight. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want to speak to us, we'll be available after the meeting. I'll be at the door for a few moments. Reverend McCrae is available here tonight with elders in this meeting. Love to talk to you about your soul. I can speak to you if you wish. Let me know at the door. Friend, don't you leave without Christ. If you get saved tonight, come and tell us. Gladly show you how you can go on with God. My friend, be not deceived tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to present the truth of the gospel to the people of this congregation. Thank you for those who are here tonight. Thank you for those who have watched tonight online. And Lord, I pray that thou wilt expose every lie of Satan and hell. And thou wilt give deliverance to those in the chains of sin tonight. Give them a desire to come. Give the gifts of faith and repentance. O Lord, shine down upon this gathering tonight. And may the light of thy presence cause sinners to flee to the cross. Thank thee that the blood has been shed. The work has been done. The payment, the suffering for sin has been dealt with. And all the sinner needs to do tonight is to come. Oh Lord, whatever would hinder them, friends, pride, whatever they built up in their heart, oh God, tear it down tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And bring them through for thyself. Oh Lord, save, we pray, for our Saviour's name. Amen.